The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right, we're going to get our Hyatt on, and we've got a really big star in the building today.
Thank you, Fred.
Well, you're very popular, AJ, according to Donald Trump. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
AJ, you've become very famous, I have to tell you.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master back in studio, and producer T. Scott out here with us at the Hyatt in the Galleria, which is a fantastic place. We're out here again, as usual. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776 is the number. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not a no, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it is a Wednesday. We do things a little bit differently. We put odds on it. We know technically percentages. For those of you who are new and are sticklers, we get that. But what are the percentages? Sounds stupid.
It's weird.
So we go with odds. What are the odds we have a really big star in the house, AJ?
I would say we've got a Hall of Famer in the house.
I think, yes, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
I was trying to think, is this a bigger star than Clyde Drexler?
Ooh. I mean, I think it's generational.
Yeah.
I think.
See, football always greater than basketball.
Yes. And was there ever a time when Clyde Drexler was considered the best player in the NBA?
Maybe at his position, though.
Really? Because his career basically chased Jordan's.
Yeah, but he also, like Jordan, he switched between small forward and guard. So there were times he was playing forward when Jordan was playing guard.
And then Larry Bird was playing forward.
Yeah, but Larry Bird was old by then. But he was playing small forward. So maybe. But I think I'm going to go with today's guest.
I'm going to go with him, too, because there was – and one of the questions I've got for him today is if he feels like he is – properly rated when it comes to greatest running backs of all time. And we do this as a society. We did it with LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah.
Where when they're in their playing prime, we're willing to say, man, this guy might be the best ever. But then as soon as they start to slow down,
yeah,
or they walk away from the game, it's suddenly like, yeah, but he's no Walter Payton, or he's no Barry Sanders, or whoever it may be that you think is the greatest. And I think Adrian Peterson falls into that category. Is a guy who, you know, you ask somebody 3, 4, 5 years ago, Adrian Peterson is in the conversation for best running back of all time.
Yeah, I think Barry Sanders, I think, is still the best one I've ever seen, but I think Adrian Peterson, Eric Dickerson belongs in that conversation. Tomlinson belongs in that conversation. I know Emmett Smith put up the yards, but I think he also benefited from having one of the greatest offensive lines and one of the greatest teams around him.
And he also – I don't want to –
I'm not belittling him, but if you were asking me to start a franchise with one of those guys in their prime, I'm probably taking all of those guys before I get to Emmett.
I'll give an unpopular – a comparison here for Emmitt Smith, but Emmitt Smith's got a little bit of Craig Biggio to him a lot of it's stat compiling. He hung around for a really long time, 15-year NFL career, so he was able to add some things up that maybe the other guys couldn't. And, you know, when you look at the all-time rushing leaders, you look at the list of stats, Adrian Peterson's number 12 all-time. Now, that said, We'll talk to him today about what the future holds. You know, if he rushes for, let's say he rushes for even 500 yards this year, he's suddenly ninth on the all-time list.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And he's passing up Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk, and Tony Dorsett. That's not bad guys to be passing up.
Keep in mind, he came back 1 year after a knee injury and had an amazing season and lost some time because of the legal issues, which, you know, we've talked about before.
And Adrian Peterson is, to me, one of the we talk about this with the NBA all the time. Like, are guys capable of going straight from from high school to the NBA?
Yeah, he could have gone straight to the NFL.
Usually, I tend to believe in the NBA. It's not as difficult. In the NFL, I always think it's very dangerous.
It's almost impossible
for a kid to go from high school to the NFL. But if you saw Adrian Peterson freshman year at Oklahoma, you could kind of tell this dude's on the wrong field. Like he's meant to be playing with grown men by now. And obviously made a hell of a career, and is, I don't know what to say. Is he making a hell of a career or has made a hell of a career? I guess we'll find out. What we're going to have to ask him.
Yeah, but I will just say, if you're an NFL general manager looking for a running back, he looks fantastic. He doesn't look 33 years old. I'm sure he's taking care of himself because I hope he gets a chance, man. He's always one of those guys I loved watching play, and going to be really cool to have him on. He'll be on at 4:30, but if you're you come out here to the Hyatt and get a chance to get a picture, things like that. He'll be here till 5 o'clock. So there you go. We are at the Urban Bar at the Hyatt Regency Galleria, and they've got some specials here for you, which is pretty cool. Specialty margaritas, including a tequila old fashioned, a honey lemon margarita, and an Añejo smash.
I like that's what I'm drinking.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. Food-wise, specialty tacos for $10, wings for $10, loaded nachos $13, bar specials Wells for $5. That's what I'm having. House wine, $6. Draft beer, 16 ounce for $4. 20 ounce for $6. So that's going on while we're here, 4 to 7. And I always love coming over here to the Urban Star Bar, mainly because all we have to do is walk across the street and there's alcohol.
There is alcohol.
And it's a cool atmosphere. And if you're having an event, this is a great place to do it. The bar here is a very cool place to hang out. So happy to be here. We'll have Adrian Peterson on in just a bit. So how's your day going so far?
So far, so good. It's another rainy day, and, you know, I'm kind of tired of that. I'm ready to move on from that.
You know what, though? It's kind of keeping it cool outside, and we're not getting like 15 inches of stuff like they were telling us. It's kind of spread out. I mean, I don't know. Some people may be getting flooding. I'm not, so so I don't mind it too much, but, yeah, it's going to get old.
And I'm working on a sports map story today about the NBA draft. So just some thoughts of mine on the NBA draft on a few players, and that'll be up on Sports Map tomorrow. Normally I write on Fridays, but since the draft's tomorrow, I figured, well, I'll just bump my day up one. And, you know, I always feel like it's funny because once players get to the NBA, I think there's a lot of people who care about the NBA, but the NBA draft is kind of flies under the radar because I think for two reasons. One is now nobody knows these players as much as they used to. Like when I was a kid, I always think back to, you know, I loved watching the NBA draft because I knew who the players were.
That was those 3 years in college, though.
Yeah.
I think that's a big reason for it.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love it for the same reasons.
I still remember sitting down around sitting at the TV when I was like in high school watching the 96 draft. And that's the one that had Iverson and Ray Allen and Marbury and Kobe and Kerry Kittles and all these dudes that I loved watching in college. Well,
Kobe wasn't in college. Well,
right, but I'm just saying that was the draft.
And it was funny because Kobe went, as I recall, fairly late in
13th.
That draft. Yeah, and they traded – didn't they trade Vlade Divac?
Vlade Divac for Kobe.
Yeah, to get that draft pick. But we didn't know much about him because he jumped straight from high school.
But somebody thought Samaki Walker was a safer play than Kobe Bryant.
Who all else went before him?
Let me see.
I'm just curious.
Iverson, Camby, Abdul Rahim, Marbury, Allen was the top five.
Right, which, let me see. All those guys had moments at least.
It's one of the greatest drafts ever, which is why I remember so much about it. Here it is. Iverson, Camby, Abdul Rahim, Marbury, Ray Allen, Antoine Walker went 6. Mm-hmm. Lorenzen Wright went 7. Kerry Kittles, 8. Samaki Walker, 9. Ooh. Eric Dampier, 10. Todd Fuller, 11. Vitaly Potapenko, 12.
Potapenko. Yeah.
That's right.
God, how do I remember that?
And Kobe Bryant, 13.
Wow.
That
was a good draft, though. A
couple guys who went behind him who ended up being pretty good. Peja Stojakovic went 14. Steve Nash went 15. Jermaine O'Neal, 17. Zydrunas Ilgauskas, 20.
Wasn't Jermaine O'Neal coming right out of high school, too?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still remember Jermaine O'Neal. I saw him. I saw him at the casino in New Orleans. This was shortly – I mean, this was like probably 5 years into his NBA career, and maybe a little more than that. But he was throwing money around at the dice table. And then I remember like a few years later going, man, I hope he held on to some of that because things went downhill.
Antoine Walker sure didn't.
No. But, yeah, it's a great draft. But so I think the sort of the one-and-done thing is slowing down people's interest in the NBA draft. And I also just think that, you know, college basketball in general isn't as popular of a game, and maybe that's why. But so I always feel like the other reason is a lot of these guys who get drafted, I mean, the failure rate with the NBA draft
right.
is much higher than the NFL draft.
Well, and I think in part that's because of the one-and-dones and these Euro guys. You never know how that's
going to
translate.
You're having to project.
Yeah, so I'm interested in it, but I'm looking forward to your article. Actually, everybody's days have kind of gotten messed up as far as writing this week because Granato wrote something. Usually he writes for Thursday, but he wrote something that I posted today because it was about the U.S. Open, and it's kind of timely still, and by Thursday it might not be. And then, now you're moving up a day, which is cool, but there's a lot of good stuff on Sports Map, so you can go check it out.
I asked permission from management.
Yeah, well, so did John.
Okay.
He said, I'm going to send it to you today if you want to. You know, if you want to hold it till tomorrow, you can. Then I read it and I go, we better get that up.
If
today.
You hold mine till Friday, it'll be pretty dumb.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. So, but no, there's some good stuff on there. Pretty much something for everybody. Go check it out. I got all that. Man, I was up at 4:30 this morning.
Oh boy!
And so I went and did a bunch.
I was up at 7:45 and I had to hit snooze.
I had I went and did a bunch of invoicing stuff for the website so people can get paid, and posted all those stories and did a bunch of other stuff and. Did some show prep, and then today was my big day in the gym. I got on the scale since I started 2 weeks ago with this program. I'm down 15 pounds.
Good for you.
And I'm feeling great. I have not felt better after a workout since I started doing this. And part of that was I got a B12 shot yesterday at Arrows, but part of it
too always help.
But part of it is, man, it's just I'm finally seeing results. And now, I mean, I'm still like 20 pounds away from being able to attract a decent side piece.
Right.
But at least I'm making progress. So I feel good, man. I'm ready to rock this show.
All you got to do is throw your wallet on the table, Fowler.
Yeah, well.
You're the number one guy. The number one guy in Houston. Don't forget that.
Yeah. That and 20 drinks might get somebody drunk enough.
That's right. Good.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at the Hyatt Regency in the Galleria. We're here in the Urban Star Bar. All kinds of, they've got really good food here. They've got plenty of drink choices. And, Adrian Peterson's here, so if you
Adrian
want to
meet Peterson,
him, he's certainly drawn the biggest crowd of anyone we've had.
So, because my jujitsu, I've kind of messed up my fingers. My fingers are all kind of jacked up, especially my two pointer fingers.
Yeah,
it's like grip stuff.
Yeah,
and when I shook Adrian Peterson's hand, he's got like a legendary handshake. Like he grips you like a man.
I think he went easy on us.
And I'm pretty sure he didn't, like, try to crush my hand, but because I have a crappy finger, I just felt like he was trying to break me. And, I mean, I was just like, it only lasted about 2 seconds, but it's like it's a long 2 seconds. And Tyler, of course, is here. He's like, it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. I was like, dude, if that guy wanted to just crush your hand, he could. Yeah. It would be like a soda can.
I was just like, that's one of those you just want to get out real fast. You know, you get it, say, okay, good to meet you, buddy. All right, I'm out.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
But the other thing that impresses me is, like, we're close to the same size.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize, like, how fast he runs, how high he jumps, and then I'm like, God, what a slob I am! Like it's very sad when I think about it.
Yeah.
I stood next to him. I was like, we're pretty close to the same size, you know. Listen, I'm not I don't have quite the musculature that he has, but I got a little weight on me here. But then I start to think about like, oh, they're like, if we played tag, I would never catch him. Like, it's just he's just a different level of athlete.
Yeah.
And it makes me hate myself.
Man, he looks the same as he did when he was 22 years old.
Yeah.
He really does. Maybe even when he was 18.
Could be.
But it'll be interesting to talk to him. He'll be on next segment, so we'll ask him some questions about that. And a couple people were wanting my email address for different reasons. It's just fower975@gmail.com. You can send me an email anytime. I'll be happy to respond. Not when I'm on air.
Please don't do that.
You can send it to me when I'm on air, but don't expect a response, which always drives me nuts when people do that and they want an answer right away. It's like 4 to 7, I'm a little busy, generally.
Yeah.
But I almost had an embarrassing moment in the gym today, though. I was going through doing some chest stuff, and I see, and I don't really, I keep my head down when I'm in the gym. I don't look at people. I don't talk to people. I mean, if somebody comes up and talks to me, I'll talk to them, but I try to keep to myself because, you know, there's all these different kind of people in the gym, right? There's people who are in shape, who look good, who are going to walk around looking good.
Right.
There's people who are really sloppy, which is where I was a few weeks ago, that you kind of look at and you feel a little sorry for them because you don't think they're going to last very long in there, kind of like the guy Barstool made fun of. And then there's guys like me that just nobody notices because you're not either one of them. You're just kind of, yeah. So you don't really, nobody sees you. So you're kind of invisible, which is cool. That's how I like it. But there was a girl in there, and I thought, oh, I need to go say hi to her because I know her. I thought it was Rachel who does videos for us on Sports Map and interns with us sometimes.
Right.
And it looked just like her. And so I started to walk up to talk to her and just say, hey, how's it going? And then I noticed she didn't have tattoos on her arms.
Oh,
I'm like, whoops, oh, no, now I'm going to be some creepy
now
dude.
Now it sounds like you're starting up a conversation, like you're trying to chat
her
up.
Yes, and now I'm a creep. Now I'm a freak show, and I'm that guy nobody wants to talk to ever.
Yeah.
And fortunately, she was looking at her phone, and I, like, right when I kind of noticed that and noticed that the hair was a little lighter, I, like, did a quick right-hand turn.
So. Right.
But anybody watching me said, that dude's stalking that chick.
Yeah.
So I felt bad about it. So I'm back to my, I don't care if I know you now. I'm just not going to say anything.
That's the move. Let them say something to you first.
But
the problem with me is when that happens, I don't know anybody's name. So I just end up saying buddy.
Yeah.
And I haven't quite come up with the female equivalent
Amiga.
For buddy.
Amiga.
I can't do Amiga.
Why not?
It doesn't work for me.
That's an easy one. That's what I do for both, really. Amigo, Amiga.
Yeah, I'm a buddy guy.
Because if you say darling, now you're a Weinstein, so you can't do that.
I'm a buddy guy, and I just don't have, like,
young lady. I use young lady a lot.
Yeah, but that makes me feel old. Then, like, you're old.
Yeah, but I say that to older women, it makes them feel better.
I don't like that.
Well,
I can't do that.
Dude, I've given you two really
I
good.
Know. I don't believe in either of those, though. That's what I'm just saying. I don't think there is a good option for me.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, those are good options for you. It's just not the best option for me.
Yeah, because you can't really make any. You can't say, like, beautiful or
anything
like that anymore. Oh, no. No, you've got to.
Honey. I used to go with honey. You can't do honey.
I used to do the Maynard Monroe darling.
Oh,
but
no.
You can't do that one anymore either. So, I'm pretty good with young lady and Amiga.
Okay.
So, those are my two. That's the best I can do. I don't have anything else for you.
I'll figure something out one day.
Yeah, 713-780 ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And by the way, Dustin the win for your Astros streak last night.
Yep, my kid was at the game. He was on the big screen.
Oh, really? What is it with you Hoffman's getting on the big screen every time you go somewhere?
Well, I don't know. I went to two Rockets games all year, two playoff games. I was on the big screen both times. This is the first Astros game my kid's been to all year. He's on the big screen. I don't know how we do it. The camera's attracted to us. We're very photogenic as a family, let me tell you.
AJ, you've become very famous.
I have.
Yeah. Wow. But another good game from Justin Verlander, as you would
Wasted.
Expect. Yeah. Oh, well.
But the weird thing is
they're 12-1 in their last 13.
I know.
I think they're okay.
Listen, they're doing okay. And an Astro fan was like, oh, I can't believe they set Jose Altuve in the middle of this winning streak. It's like, that guy's played 75 games in a row. Cut him some slack.
Yeah.
Let him have a rest. Then he came in and pinch hit. It's like, dude, I mean, the guy's got to rest at some point. He's not Cal Ripken.
You know what a 13-game winning streak means if you don't win the World Series?
Zero.
Remember the year the A's won? What was it, 22 in a row? And they made Moneyball out of it.
Yep.
Yeah. What'd they do?
If
they hadn't made that movie, would you even know they had done that?
No.
Okay, just checking. But yeah, I get that guy some rest, and your lineup's still pretty good. You know, other than having Jake Mariznick in there, your lineup's still pretty good.
Right.
But yeah, it's a nice run. I think they'll get it going again tonight. Charlie Morton, and I think this is a night they're giving out the more free fake rings.
Oh, so is it?
Yeah, it's going to be packed.
Oh, is that why you're going, Tyler? Are you going for the free ring? Oh, you what a weirdo. What are you going to do with that? Put your mic on.
Well, by the way, you need to be one of the first 10,000.
No, everybody gets one.
Everybody gets
every
one?
Fan, yeah.
What are you going to do with that ring?
I just want it.
What are you going to do with it? You have an idea of what you want to do with it.
Eventually, whenever I buy a house, I'm going to have a man cave, and I'm going to have a bunch of like Astro stuff, and I'm going to have it in there.
You're going to have a free giveaway from an Astros game in your man cave.
Yeah.
On display.
Why not? I'm not going to shell out.
I already know what you're going to do.
I'm not going to shell out.
I know exactly what you're going to do.
The replica ring.
You're going to go out wearing that thing. You're going to say your name's Evan Gaddis
Tyler
White. You could get by
with
Dallas
Keuchel. I'd have to shave my head, though.
Yeah. You could do that, though.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it.
I might. Yeah.
For a one-time thing. I mean, your hair's not like real long anyway. You could grow it right back.
That's a good way to get out of a slump. So.
Yeah.
Ooh, or a speeding ticket, maybe.
Well, no. The officer's going to see your license,
that's
and he's going to see.
Right, yeah.
Right.
I'm a dumb.
Yeah. But
it does sound like a baseball player name, though. You could probably fool somebody if they're not a huge fan.
It's too bad Tyler White didn't get a ring.
Yeah.
Because Tyler White looks a little bit like you. Your beard's a little more lush.
I'm kind of pudgy. Yeah.
Your name's already Tyler.
That's true.
So, like, it would only be a half lie.
So I'm not really lying. Yeah,
it's a half lie.
Yeah.
That's not even a big deal anymore.
Somebody said, I got an embarrassing moment in the gym as well. Yesterday I saw my sister-in-law walk in. Then about 10 minutes later, I thought it was her walking behind me. So I turned and said, hey. But it was a dude in a tank top and wearing yoga pants. His face was priceless.
Wait, so he thought a guy wearing yoga pants was his sister-in-law?
Yeah.
That guy's got an ugly sister-in-law. I would have talked to my brother before the wedding and been like, hey, man.
Yeah, no. It looks too much like a guy. Yeah,
your fiance looks like a guy wearing yoga pants.
And then leaving for Vegas tomorrow with my wife for the first time, anything I need to see or do, Chris, go to sportsmap.com, go to the travel section, and I've got a whole thing on Vegas for you.
All right, guys, got to tell you about dirt-free carpet cleaning. It's summertime. Kids are on summer break. It's awesome for them, but sucks for your carpets. And right now it's a bunch of extra foot traffic. They're dragging in dirt from outside, chemicals from the pool. It's just gross. Pollen, allergens, all that stuff. Get a jump on summer cleaning right now with dirt-free carpets. Summer special. For a limited time, they'll clean three rooms for $100, and they'll throw in a free speed dry. How about that? The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, other chemicals that can make your family sick. You don't need that. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with dirt-free carpet. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, carpets, even your air ducts. Call them right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll do three rooms for $100 and throw in a free speed dry. That's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for dirt-free carpet.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Hyatt Regency Hotel in the Galleria, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, number one sports show in Houston. Always has to have the best guests. And I've been looking forward to this since we found out Adrian Peterson was going to be here. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you too, brother. How you doing today? How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Why do you look like you're 25?
Yeah. Honestly, I was saying earlier, if you're a GM out there listening, he does not look 33 years old.
And
man,
I don't want to hear black don't crack, because it's like
it doesn't.
The whole package. You look like you're a young man.
You know, I took a trip to the fountain of of life and just took a dip in there. So just it rejuvenated me.
Good for you, man.
Good jinx.
We were talking before the show started about your first, let me ask you this. Do you plan on playing in the 2018 NFL season?
I do. I do plan on playing.
Okay, so you're still going to be climbing the charts for. I was saying to Fred, if you rush for 500 yards, which I don't, you rushed over 500 last year and you didn't play in half the games.
Yeah,
you rush for over 500 yards, you'll end up ninth on the all-time list next year for rushing yards. You'll pass Marshall Faulk, Jim Brown, and Tony Dorsett next season.
Wow.
You'll be right behind Eric Dickerson. And if you rush for 1,000, you'll be past Eric Dickerson.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like that now that your career is on the downward side, that people aren't respecting what you've done as a running back? Because I feel like 5 years ago, if I said Adrian Peterson is going to go down as the best running back of all time, people wouldn't have argued too much. And now, and I feel like I told Fred, they did the same thing with LaDainian Tomlinson. When he was at his peak, everybody's like, oh, yeah. But then as soon as it starts to decline, they're like, oh, well, he's no Barry Sanders. He's no Walter Payton. Do you feel like maybe now that you're slowing down a little bit that people are suddenly forgetting the greatness that you've put out there?
I do, you know. And, you know, honestly, I don't feel like I'm slowing down. I feel like the only thing that has slowed me down has been the injuries, you know. Last year in Minnesota, it was the meniscus, you know, and I had to get a total repair on that. And then last year, unfortunately, the neck injury, you know, but completely healed from that. But outside of that, you know, I feel like if people that know football, if you guys know football, you know, those games that I had in Arizona, you know, you see that it's still there.
Yeah.
You know?
And by the way, Arizona wasn't a good team. And it's hard to be a running back on a bad team and put up any kind of numbers. And I thought you looked pretty good. I didn't understand. And now, granted, of course, when New Orleans at the end of the season, you look at what they've got. Looks like they've got themselves a pretty special player there.
So
you know, it's understandable why they didn't want to go with someone in their 33 years old versus the guy that they thought could be pretty special.
Yeah, and the guy that had been there for 8 years.
Right. So it seemed like it. Do you feel like maybe you made a mistake with the New Orleans signing? Like that in hindsight, just wasn't the right spot for you?
Not at all. You know, and a lot of people said that. You know, a lot of people said, well, how is he going to fit into that system? You know, like it kind of beat me across the head with that. But then when you look at the success they had, it was based on the running game.
Right.
You know, they made it to the NFC Championship game. So it was a good decision. It just didn't work out because, you know, they drafted Alvin Kamara and, you know, Mark Ingram being there for 8 years. So, you know, they definitely wasn't going to part ways with him. So, for me, it wasn't a bad decision. You know, I went in. I was able to be around that young guy, Alvin, and help him out a lot and just take the competition level offensively to a different level, especially in that running back group, you know. So, I felt like I was able to contribute. It was also a great time there. I had some great food in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah, you
and,
did.
made some great friends as well.
When have you had any contact, your agent had any contact with teams yet? And have you run into, basically, teams are going to have to bring you in as a starter, right? Because now your backups are playing special teams and everything else. Have you run into any of that as you've been talking to teams?
No, not really. I haven't really been talking to anyone. I've just been kind of just flying under the radar, you know, just kind of knowing how the system go. You know, I know it'll probably be more around training camp when things kind of start rolling or picking up. So, you know, on the flip side, I'm just controlling the things I can control, making sure I'm in shape and I'm ready to go. You know, I have the ultimate confidence in what I'll be able to do when I land, wherever I land, you know. So it's all about just having an opportunity. It's unfortunate that I'm looked at in that light because of the age. And I know a lot of it has to do with the injuries the past 2 years. But, you know, wherever I go, they won't regret it. I can tell you that.
I know you mentioned a couple times you wouldn't mind playing here in town. I hope they're listening because we wouldn't mind seeing you play here in town, to be honest. I think once somebody gets hurt in training camp, your phone's going to start ringing. I think people will realize. Not that you wish injuries on anybody, but you lose your starting running back, and, oh, gosh, we can get Adrian Peterson? Yeah, I think we'll do that.
Yeah, hopefully it happens before then.
Yeah.
So, you know, I go ahead and get in and get into the groove of things.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. I have an appreciation for it because coming in the way that I came, you know, number 7 overall and just having the type of career that I've had, I've seen the, you know, revolving door. And I've seen guys that, you know, that jump around to different teams, you know. and have success doing it. You know, some guys are out within 3 to 5 years. So I have appreciation for it. You know, it's humbling, but, you know, I'm enjoying it. I can't lie to you. It is what it is.
Is it – does it bother you that Minnesota moved on from you when they did, given that – I mean, obviously last year Minnesota had a really nice year, and it's easy to say, well, you know, Minnesota doesn't feel any regrets because they had a good season, but – Minnesota got almost nothing from their running backs last year, and if they would have had any bit better of a running game, who knows what that team could have turned into? Do you and you? I mean, you were there for a long time. Yeah. Do you feel like maybe they owed you a little bit more loyalty than what they showed?
Yeah, just knowing, you know, from the outside looking in, you know what you're seeing, but just being in the core of the decision that was made and how it was made, you know, I felt like I was owed a little more than that. You know, I heard about the signing the day they signed him. Mm-hmm. You know, it was, you know, after the exit meetings, it was no follow up conversation, it was no call or anything like that. The next time I talked to the Vikings, you know, it was 12:00. I was in San Antonio, and they were telling me they were signing Murray. You know, so I just felt like that was handled wrong, you know, based on everything I'd done for the organization, 10 years. And then you call me at 12:00 when I'm in San Antonio on vacation. And actually, you did want to call. I talked to my agent, and I said, you know what? No, tell them to call me. Don't wait till tomorrow. I'm up. Tell them to call me. So, that's the only thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. But, you know, it was a little tension there. I love the Viking organization, but, you know, it was time to part ways.
And you knew when they drafted Dalvin Cook that – you know, eventually, they use a second-round pick on Dalvin Cook. Eventually, they're looking to pass that torch. But to me, you've been the best running back in the league for 10 years in Minnesota, and then suddenly they're like, Latavius Murray is taking your job. And no offense to Latavius Murray. Listen, he's a good enough player. He ain't nothing special. That to me, I would be angry if I were you, just saying, God, of all the people, you're telling me Latavius Murray, after 10 years I've been here running for you guys, this is who you're picking to replace me?
No, I wasn't angry. Let me give you a little insight on why I wasn't angry. So, obviously, that year I tore my meniscus. Mm-hmm. I tore 90% of my meniscus. 90%. So, it's two options you have. Either you can get it cut out. You know, it's not like a 2 or 3 week thing where it's
right.
2%. Get it cut out. You can do a total repair, which is a 50% chance of recovering.
Right.
And it's a 6 to 9 month recovery. So, obviously, that happened week two. And, you know, me just being crazy how I am, you know, I was like, you know what? I'll be able to come back. I'll be able to help this team win, you know, whatever. So I went through my process and had the surgery. And I was in a position to come back and, you know, and help compete, you know, help the team. And, you know, the week I came back, we got beat up bad by the Colts.
Yeah.
You know, and so that following Monday, you know, I went to talk to the guys and I was like, hey, you know, I think I'm going to sit out, you know, this week because, you know, I was having some issues with my hip flexor. And I was like, you know, it's not worth it. You know, taking that we have a 1% chance of making it, you know, just let me get a week to heal up and then we play Green Bay. We ever get that win, give me time to recover, rejuvenate. You know, I can try to get back out there and make it happen. Obviously, being mindful of, you know, that was my last year as well, and,
right.
and wanted to come back to the Vikings as well. So I feel like me not playing in that Green Bay game kind of rubbed them the wrong way. But it rubbed me the wrong way as well, because if you got a franchise player, let's say it was Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to ask him to come back and play on the meniscus. You know, that was something that I was taking a chance on myself because of the love I have for the sport and trying to help my team win. And, you know, some of the things that took place and was said because of that decision that I made, you know, really showed me a lot, opened my eyes to a lot. So, you know, when the signing happened, Murray, it didn't surprise me. It was what it was. You know, I'm not bitter about it. I still have a lot of respect for that organization and the fans in Minnesota. But it was due time. It was time.
Was it tough for you to watch them play so well last season when you were in Arizona and, like, clearly in the middle of, like, a rebuild thing in Arizona, to watch Minnesota, who's you know – they've been up and they were up and down in your time there, but to have them have such a good season, was that frustrating for you?
But to be honest with you, a little bit, but then again, it wasn't because, you know, I think about the Everson Griffin, you know, the Harrison Smith, you know, the Brian Robinson, all these guys that
you're
spent,
happy for.
I spent so much time with, you know. So I was happy for those guys. I just wasn't happy for the organization.
That's got to be tough, though, because here they are in the NFC Championship game, and obviously you're watching that, and there's all these guys that you've played with for so many years that you guys have had each other's back. And there's part of you who's probably got to be thinking, man, if I was there, we'd be better.
Exactly.
We'd beat Philadelphia.
Listen, I watched that game, and I'm just like, gosh. You know, if I was there to help them establish a run game, you know, they're playing in the Super Bowl. You know, and that would hurt. That hurt me the most. It was like, God, you know, they finally made it to another NFC Championship game, and you know, it just kind of ran away from them. But if they had that running game to kind of help give them, you know, push them over the curve, it could have been a different turnout.
You mentioned Brian Robinson, and it brings me to a question I've wanted to ask you for a long time. I worked in Austin back in the early to mid-2000s, and it was basically written down that you were coming to Texas. Everybody assumed that Adrian Peterson was coming to Texas. And you had said that you wanted to go to Texas. And granted, they had there was a lot of good running backs there at the time. Jamal Charles, he's put together a pretty good career. You know, Ramontz Taylor was a special athlete. Selvin Young was good. But none of those guys are Adrian Peterson. The story goes that for the longest time, the story was you saw Oklahoma basically take a dump on Texas the year before you went there, and you were like, I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. But then I heard later that when you talked to Mack Brown, he told you that you weren't going to have a chance to compete for the starting job when you got there. Is that exactly how it went, and is that what changed your mind?
Yeah, that's exactly what changed my mind. You know, to be honest with you, you know, I grew up, and I'm still a Texas fan. To this day, not once have I threw the horns down, you know, because I represent where I'm from, Texas and Longhorns. I grew up loving the Longhorns. My uncle Chris Smith played with Applewhite, Ricky Williams, and those guys, so I was able to catch some games as well. I'll tell you the story. I never forget going down to the Orange and White game. And, you know, after that game, I remember just standing there looking at the stadium, and it was clear. You know, obviously it's a beautiful stadium. And I just remember looking at the scoreboard, and I was just like, you know what? One day I'll be back playing here. And I was like an eighth grader at that time, you know. But, yeah, man, I was in Mack Brown's office, and I asked him. I said, hey, coach, if I come here, will I have the opportunity to compete for the starting job? He was like, well, Adrian, you know, Cedric Benson is coming back for his senior year. He's the first true freshman, you know, to start for 4 years for us. So we're going to be loyal to him and let him, you know, start and ride it out. And once he's done, then you can, you know, you can compete for it. But then I got Oklahoma, USC. I got every other school in the
nation. Saying you're the guy, yeah, day one.
Saying that you can come in and compete. And it's not like I was coming in demanding or, you know, anything. Just for the opportunity to compete.
Had you shown up 2004 – and they say you go through camp and all that, and they say, listen, you've done well. We're going to get you some carries here, but Cedric is he's still our bell cow for this season. Would that have upset you?
If I was obviously the better player, then yeah.
Okay.
And then you kind of, if you base it off of, you just look at his,
because Cedric Benson was pretty good.
Yeah. He was. Look at his senior year, and then look at my freshman year, and you put those stats up against each other, and you see, you know, who had the better year. You know, like I was up for the Heisman Trophy. He wasn't. But he won the Doak Walker Award.
Yeah.
That's kind of strange to me. Well, but you know what? Mack Brown could have lied to me.
That's what I said. Yeah. Mack Brown,
I would have lied to you. I'd have told you right.
I'm glad he didn't. But
and you have to understand that day. Every coach is lying to you. I mean, on some level, every coach you talk to during that recruiting process, they're feeding you some kind of line. But Mack was almost honest to a fault when it came to stuff like that, because you hear the stories of guys like Jameis Winston who said, I desperately wanted to play for the Longhorns, and Robert Griffin III, and he's just like,
Manziel.
Yeah, man, he's just like, it might happen, but it ain't happening right away. Mm-hmm. And every other coach is like, yeah, we'll give you a chance to compete. And in their head, they might be saying, we'll give you a chance. You ain't going to win it, but we'll give you a chance to win it.
Yeah.
And Mack is almost honest to a fault in that aspect.
Now,
obviously, you, if I'm not mistaken, your first year you guys won 12-0. I think you ran all over them. But then the next season, Texas goes on to win a national championship. Mm-hmm. Any frustration when that happens? Damn it, that could have been me.
Of course, you know, you think about that. You know, I wasn't present that game. I mean, that that Red River Shootout. I had a high angle sprain. It was a grade
in 2005.
Three. Yeah, it was a grade three high angle sprain game. I think if I was a part of that game, and obviously that game really impacts.
Oh,
where you land, you know. So I'm just like, you know what? If I was been able to play that game, I tried like three or four plays or a series, but I couldn't do it. It would have been different, but yeah, of course, I look back still and be like, man, I could have won a championship.
And no offense to Rhett Bomar, who I'm sure is like he was a good quarterback at the time. I'm sure he's a really good car salesman now, but like, but when you see Vince Young and you think, man, that could have been Vince Young and Adrian Peterson playing together in college. I mean, that's got to be an appealing thought.
Oh yeah, it would have been crazy. You know, without a doubt. I've thought about that several times. Me and Vince, I've actually talked about that. And, yeah, it would have been something amazing, especially with the running backs they had there as well, Jamal Charles and those guys. Oh, man, it would have been unstoppable.
So, obviously, you're keeping yourself in shape, waiting for that phone call. You can't really be football shape, but what are you doing now to stay where you are so that you're ready if you do get a call?
You know, I have a gym over here in the Heights area, O Athletic, south of Shepherd. And I-10. But, yeah, I'm in there and I'm training every day, keeping my body ready, chasing the kids around. So that keeps me in shape and helps work my agility and change the direction. But outside of that, you know, I'm just resting up and just relaxing and just enjoying life.
You've been getting some poker in down there? I heard them say you were going to be a bounty in one of those tournaments.
Yeah. I've been a bounty like twice, but – I love playing poker, man. I love playing Hold'em in Omaha. I actually got the other day got a Royal Flush for the first time.
Nice. Oh, nice.
So I was pretty pumped about that.
I remember my first one was in a cash game in Vegas, and I got paid off. And that's one of those you never forget your first one, man. Yeah. Most of the time people are folding because it's pretty obvious what's out there.
Uh-huh.
But that's awesome.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the 2014 season. You play one game. The NFL decides, listen, you're not playing anymore this year. And it's more of a regular occurrence now that the NFL just decides this is worth suspending somebody over, this is okay, and it seems sort of random. You missed 15 games that season. Knowing that, you know, once you hit age 30, people suddenly start looking at running backs as like, oh, he's dying off. That your 28, 29-year-old season, how frustrating is it for you to lose that time in hindsight even, not only at the time but in hindsight, when you look at your long-term legacy, like if you were able to add another, you know, 1,800 yards to what you've done by now, I mean, that's a pretty big chunk. What were you thinking at the time, and how do you look back at that now?
Well, at the time, it was, you know, I was able to just kind of enjoy that off time with my family, you know, enjoy some of the holidays that I, you know, weren't able to attend for, you know, 9-8 years previous. So that's kind of how I cope with that, you know, just enjoy my time off. But, you know, when I do look back at it, it's like, wow, you know, there's a lot of things that could have been accomplished. I could have been maybe in top five now, you know, had it been for, you know, that year. And then, you know, obviously other games I've missed as well. But at the end of the day, you know, it's like it is what it is. You know, it was meant to happen that way. And obviously that's why it played out that way. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't really stress over too much. I just take things for how they come and just make my adjustments as it comes to me.
You think Roger Goodell's a good commissioner?
50-50.
Okay.
Do you think they tried to make an example out of you in that situation? And were the Vikings supportive throughout that?
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things within that situation that took place. I felt like the NFL at a point kind of – had my back, and there were some things that kind of transpired that it was a shift, you know, and it was some decisions on both parties that played a role in that. But, I feel like the Vikings were supportive, not as supportive as I, you know, felt like they should have been. But, you know,
what was
it's a business.
Yeah. What was that like, though, starting a national conversation about something? Because, like, we all grew up in Texas. Our parents used switches on us. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of shows where we talked about that. And suddenly you're thrust in the middle of a conversation with people from all over the country weighing in. What was that like?
It was tough, man, because, you know, the hardest thing for me was, you know, just knowing my intent. Yeah. You know, it definitely wasn't my intent. and knowing that the love that I have for my kids, you know, and knowing the love that my son, like, they see these pictures, and it's like, oh, my God, how could you do this to your son? Yeah. It's like, well, you know, if you guys know, like, he's the toughest one out of the bunch, for one, and as I was, you know, spanking him, he didn't move one muscle or drop one tear, and I didn't notice it until he turned around, you know, and it's like, it was so unfortunate because he had to go through that as well. But the love that he has for me is really what got me through the whole scenario. Like, I shared a story with some friends. My first time seeing my son after that process, it was with his counselor, and it was a supervised visit. And I remember going in there, and, you know, he ran, and I embraced him, and, you know, we were talking, and she kind of went through their normal, you know, routine as far as how they, you know, start their sessions off. And it was just so sad to me to see the steps. You know, it was like stick figures they had on this picture. And it was like me, his mom, her. And it was like, this is dad. And, you know, this is mom. And, you know, this is you. And, you know, this is me. And I'm here to help protect you against dad. And this and that. I was like, what are you guys trying to brainwash my child? But what really set in was my son, we were sitting down on the ground. We were playing. And he said, Dad, hey, I got to tell you something. He kind of looked back. You know, she's right there, you know. And he's like, come here. I'm going to whisper it to you. So I'm like, what? So I kind of reach, you know, lean in. And he was like, hey, Dad, can you call? I came up with an idea. I said, okay. I said, what's your idea? He was like, you can call Uncle Chris, who the guy that played the Texas, my uncle. He worked for me. He was my assistant or whatever. He was like, you can call Uncle Chris. And he can come sneak me away from my mom's house, and he can fly me down to your house, so I can come be with you. Mm. You know, so it's like you got the world looking at this picture, like I'm just this guy that, you know,
like you're a bad guy, you're a bad dad,
and judging you without knowing, like I said, without knowing intent, without knowing anything
about me, right. You know. But that right there, that solidified everything for me,
and that made it more frustrating. I mean, that had to be more frustrating than even missing a season of football.
Yeah, going through that, it was. But, you know, knowing the love that my kids have for me, you know, it made it easy for me. You know, I've always been the type of person that I don't let what people – and I'm human, so things do affect me. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I don't let what people say bring me down. If I did, I would have been out the league years ago, and I wouldn't accomplish anything that I've accomplished so far. So, you know, I'm built tough.
I know we're running out of time with you. I think back to that 2007 draft, which I think is one of the best drafts of all time when you actually look at who came out of that thing, despite the fact that somehow the Raiders missed all of these great players with the number one pick at the top.
Oh, what crazy.
They pass up on multiple Hall of Famers to take Jamarcus Russell. But did you have an idea of where you were going on draft night? Did you or did you have like an expectation of where, like, the lowest you could drop or the highest you could go?
Mm. You know, I actually thought Arizona was going to pick me. I think they had number five.
They had number five.
Yeah.
They took Levi Brown.
Levi Brown. And I thought Arizona was going to pick me. I thought Cleveland was a possibility as well. But after Arizona passed and picked Levi Brown, I was pretty certain that the Vikings was going to pick me because I had a great visit there with Eric Bieniemy and, you know, Coach Childress and Rick and those guys. So I was pretty sure that I was going to be a Viking after the Cardinals passed me.
The Raiders had already, they announced like a week before that they were taking Jamarcus Russell. When they said that, were you like, dude, what are you guys doing?
Of course, the competitor in me says that. But then again, when I look back at that moment, I was like, you know what? Jamarcus Russell is a heck of a talent, you know?
Right.
And he was. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But he just kind of, you know, you have to have all the intangibles to be able to be successful, especially at the quarterback position in the NFL. And, you know, he just kind of didn't have them all.
In hindsight, you can say, well, at least the Lions took Calvin Johnson and the the Browns took Joe Thomas. But all these other guys, they're a bunch of dummies.
That's exactly how I look at it. So, like, Joe Thomas, you know what? Okay, you know.
That's what I always say.
One of the best of all time.
I always say that about Calvin Michael Johnson. Jordan when everybody's like, well, the Rockets passed on Michael Jordan, but they got Hakeem. You know, beyond that, though – anybody else messed up?
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even realize Darrell Revis was
Darrell Revis in that draft. Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
There's probably four Hall of Famers in that one draft.
Patrick
class.
Willis, you know, like we had some guys, man.
It's a really good draft class you were a part of. Well, man, we appreciate you taking some time. Oh, Steve Smith. Oh, that's the wrong Steve Smith. That's the wrong Steve Smith. We appreciate you taking some time with us, man. I know you're a busy man. I'm excited to see you play again. I hope that you get an opportunity. Like you said, I hope that someone doesn't give you like a last-minute call. I hope that you get to go into camp and get a real shot to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Because I still believe that that you're a guy – you know, running backs don't last forever. I understand that as much as anybody. I tell teams all the time, don't draft a running back in the first round. I don't believe it's smart business anymore because the shelf life seems to be shorter. But you're a guy physically who has just proven everybody wrong over the years. So I'm a big believer in you. I think that you've got some more miles left on the tires. So
thank you, man.
Good luck to you,
man.
And enjoy next season. Enjoy jumping into that top 10.
I will. Appreciate you for having me, man.
You are welcome on this show anytime, my
hey,
friend.
Right, who's the best running back of all time?
Of all time?
Yeah, who's your guy?
can I name a couple?
Give me a top three.
Top three in no order. Barry Sanders, Walter Payton. And Jim Brown.
Okay, that's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
You think it's possible for you to be in that same breath as those guys?
I think it's possible.
All right.
I have some work to do, though.
All right.
Yeah. All right, well, we hope you get the chance and soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, guys, if you got a little credit card debt and you need to get that down, how about this? How about a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream? What they're going to do is they're going to reward you for your good credit with a great interest rate and no fees. You can get a credit card consolidation loan from 5.89% APR with AutoPay. And, guys, I don't know what you're paying on your credit cards, but I guarantee it's a lot more than 5.89%. You can get loans anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. Just choose your funding date as soon as today. You can get funded today. And how about this? Blitzers get an additional interest rate discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is go to Lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com for more information.